ice that I got is already melted. So welcome, Don, to our platform, and the Lord bless you as you share.
You ever flagging me down there? Thank you. Yeah. We do, I do, as just to amen what Ross said, think of all the people that ministered to us already, and the projections and those who have led us in song, those who have done announcements, and think of all the saints who have given us music and have written words that we're able to enjoy, both those who now are with the Lord and those who continue to write in our present day. I was thinking one of the good things about learning new songs is that when we're singing, we're watching the words. And sometimes when we've sang a song many times, we get caught up in the melody and we forget the message. So it's a wonderful thing to have a variety of both. And thank all of those who have already cared and ministered to us. Let's ask God to bless our time and to accomplish what he wants, okay? Father, we're here this morning, and we are very thankful for who you are. We think of, even as we've seen the pictures projected, you're the great creator, the awesome God, who is so kind to us in so many ways. We all also know that there are those who are hurting, those who are in need, those who need your special touch, both physically and emotionally and spiritually. And in each of our minds and memories and hearts, there are loved ones and people we care about who we just entrust them to you for your perfect work in their lives. And Father, we do pray this morning that you'll guide our thoughts. May my words be in tune and submissive to your will. And we just pray that your work might be accomplished. We ask that the Spirit of God would be in control, oversee, and accomplish that which only he can accomplish in our midst. In Christ's name, amen. Someone asked an astronaut once how it felt to be inside a space capsule. And in a moment of thought, he said, "It really makes you think when everything is done according to the lowest bidder." Oh, dear. A little stress there, right? I was thinking, as I watched the news, and sometimes you just have to turn it off, right? It's just overwhelming. But we all desire to have a sense of security. We think of national security. I think that's probably one of the things that's on many minds. Just in the paper yesterday, I noticed two young women who left Montreal to join ISIS. And one of the writers or one of the people interviewed said they will probably just end up being basically slaves. And then another young man who was from a little closer, from Ottawa, he joined ISIS as well. He was calling for attacks on his homeland, on our country. So we think of national security. It's obviously a concern in the minds of our leaders and our minds. We think of financial security. There's in one of the places I go, there's this little advertisement of this guy talking about another stock market crash, and so I guess you're supposed to get anxious and order his material, right? So I'm not sure what he's selling. Maybe bombs or bunkers, but anyway. And then it gets a little closer to home. We think of security guards, and some of you know all about that. And then if you have children, you know all about security blankets. We like security. We're seekers of security. And there is a great deal of insecurity in life, as we've just mentioned. There's global insecurity. There's financial insecurity. And there's personal insecurity. I was noticing an article, actually it was several years back, but it was in Peterborough of a young man. He just going home late one night from work, and he was viciously attacked with a knife. And so you think, whoa, this is Peterborough. So we all, and I guess what caught my attention in that article was the title was Shaken Sense of Security. Now, do you have that? Is your security shaken? That sense of security, you know, that all is maybe not well? How do we handle that? What do we do with that? How do we have a sense of security in an insecure world? Which, obviously, if we're just honest, it's an insecure world. How can we have a sense of security? Well, I'd like to talk about that, and I first like to deal with a false sense of security, because I think this is one of the things that trips us up. We get caught up in things that gives us false security, and then when that falls apart, we're really in trouble. There's a little word in the Hebrew, it's pronounced batach, and it has the idea of trust, and we'll talk about that. But this little word gives us a kind of a guide, because it talks about the right things to trust in and the wrong things to trust in. It has the idea of to rest your weight upon something. To trust an object or a person, you're counting on them. You're counting on them. You rested your emotional weight on them. And you're hoping that they'll come through for you. Now, it's easy to put our weight, to put our trust in things that won't hold, things that will fall apart. Have you ever had one of those chairs? We've got one right now. And when somebody comes in, I'm thinking, don't sit on that chair. Right? It might be your last set down. I'm not sure. But anyway, It's a beautiful chair. There's a reason we have it, because it actually goes back to Marty's great-grandmother. But I think she sat on it fine, but everybody since then has had a little problem. But don't sit on the chair. There's some things you should not put the weight of your life on. And this little word, batach, gives us some direction. Now, I want to begin, and I'm going to be going around different places, so some of the passages I'll specifically point out. Some of them will go too quickly, but I want to begin in Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Now this, I bet we've all felt this. I mean, if you've been in grade school, you experienced this. Psalm 41, verse 9, and it has our little word batach in it, and it says this, even my close friend in whom I trusted, that's our word batach, who I counted on, I was putting my weight on them, I was really counting on them, my close friend who I trusted, who ate my bread, I mean, we were buddies, we went to McDonald's together, you know, Tim Hortons, we were buds, has lifted up his heel against me. He betrayed me. He hurt me. I mean, if you lift your heel up, the picture, you know, somebody stomped on you, right? Now, again, I mean, you had that experience in grade school, I'm sure. The sad thing is it doesn't stop there. We've had it, all of us who've lived any time have had it in other realms. Somebody you really were counting on, they didn't show up. And maybe even worse. Now, there's another verse that I'll go to, and of course there are many that, and we can't deal with all of them, but, and when I say this, you immediately say, well, sure. But we can trust in those in the government in authority over us. Now, I am very thankful we live in Canada, right? And we are to pray for those in authority over us. That's a very important part of being a Christian. But as we know, that can fall apart. Psalms 146, we're still in Psalms 146, verse 3. These words, And it warns us, isn't it interesting? Do not trust in princes. In mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. Now don't put the full weight of your life. And we should pray for those in authority, but don't put your whole confidence in them. You know, I think, well, if just this person would get in, you know, all would be well, right? Well, we've seen time and time again where that's not true. One of the godly forefathers of our Christian heritage was John Huss. He was a godly man, pre-Reformation. And he was instrumental in bringing that about. But the King of Italy and the King of Bohemia had promised John a safe transport to come, talk to them, deal with them. They broke their promises and Huss was martyred. So we see that in governments, we see that with people of power, that they cannot always be counted on. We think of living in a land where you have military power. There's a statement, and I'll just read this to you. This is in Hosea 10. You have trusted in your way, in your numerous warriors. Well, when we think of 9/11, of course, it's still in our memories. Didn't that shake the whole world? It's changed the whole world. You think of all the power of the United States militarily, and you think paper cutters, people with little knives brought the towers down. So sometimes we have confidence in things that ultimately will not hold us, will not keep us safe. And of course we think of the economy. And this is a verse that probably, when I read it, this is in Proverbs 11:28. And it reads this way: he who trusts in his riches will fall. He who trusts, and that's our word, batak, who would trust in his riches will fall. He'll collapse. Now, you think back, and I was reading an article recently, or actually a book, and it mentioned several men of tremendous power and wealth. They were, this is years back, but they were among the wealthiest men in the United States. And one on the top of the list, and probably you've at least heard the name, Charles Schwab, he was president of the largest independent steel company at that time. So he's one of the wealthiest men in the world. He lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life and died penniless. Isn't that something? How do you go from multimillionaire to penniless? But yet we see it all the time in our culture. So financially, whether it's, you know, the larger picture of the country or the smaller picture of just my pocketbook, our wealth can fly away. Remember the passage, and I think of this is not very encouraging, but this is what we've all experienced it in some way. Remember Proverbs 23:5. It says, when you set your eyes on it, it's talking about money, when you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Have you ever seen your money go, right? Just, whoa, where did that go, right? I remember when Marty and I were as young couples, you know, and you're trying to save, and you think, oh, we're trying to pay this bill, pay that bill, save a little bit here, and then you get just a little bit of a nest egg, and then you have surprise, you know, car breaks down, you know, a health bill, whatever it is, you just think, oh man, the flying away bird, right? Oh man, that nest egg is gone. So we thank the Lord when we have stuff and we have money, but we better not trust, put all our weight on it, because it could sure fly on us. Then I think of people who have great achievements. We live in a world of amazing athletes and people who have tremendous gifts and abilities. It was interesting, and I don't know the name of this man, but he was from Argentina, and he was a tennis pro. He made this observation. He said in an interview, this was years back with Sports Illustrated, and he says, "I think that many times one feels oneself to be secure, and suddenly one's world falls down like a pack of cards in a matter of seconds." Think of all the pro hockey players who, in just a matter of a moment, a hit, a dirty hit, and their whole career was gone. But they were tremendous in their skill. But in a moment, their whole career's over. So even talented people, even people who look like they've got it made and they'll never have a problem, in a split second, it can all be gone. So we've got to make sure we don't trust in the wrong things. Now, of course, we could trust in power. We could trust we live in a world that idolizes beauty. There's a statement in Scripture. This is in Ezekiel, and I'll just read a little phrase. It deals with the beauty of the nation of Israel at that time, and it says, "You trusted Batak in your own beauty." Dobson talks about the midlife crisis, and he obviously wrote this some years back. But he said, talking about those of us who are moving in that direction. I'm not there yet, but anyway. Number one, he is getting older. Number two, changes produced by aging are neither attractive nor convenient. I like the word convenient. I was telling some of you, I was playing hockey with my little grandson. Of course, I have to mention him every message, right? But anyway, I was playing hockey with my little grandson, and we were on the floor, and sometimes my hips, they kind of have this whatever, something in there. And I'm, oh, I got up. And he's getting up and he goes, oh, you know. Oh, man. The mirror. Oh, dear. I hope he doesn't feel as bad as I do. But anyway, things are going the wrong direction, right? And then in our world, it equates human worth with youth and beauty. We're being lied to, by the way, right? You're valuable if you're beautiful, right? Or you're attractive. I'm not pointing any fingers this way, right? But you think the world values that. And then when that starts sliding and going south, and you look in the mirror and you thought, who is that? Right? You ever had one of those moments? You looked in the mirror and you thought, oh, this can't be happening, right? But you know what? As we all know, it's not health, strength, attractiveness, beauty. Those things are sliding. We can't put our weight on those things. They won't hold. And then just put in our weight on. Let's look at Proverbs 28:26 for a moment. Proverbs 28:26. This kind of encompasses many things, but the world really promotes this philosophy right here. He who trusts in his own heart. Now, haven't you heard people just say, well, I just, you know, I have to go with my heart, right? I just trust my heart, right? Whatever that means, you know? He who trusts in his own heart, I'm sorry to break this to you, is a fool. He who batoks on his own heart, who puts a weight of his life on, man, this is my baby, this is my dream. I'm going with the flow, right? This is where I'm at. I believe in myself. I can do anything. Except when I have to get up from hockey. But anyway, I can do anything. He who believes in his own heart, who trusts his own heart. Man, I'm the captain of my own soul. You know, I'm going to control my own fate for about the next 3 seconds. Right? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Those are the wrong things to put a weight of our life on. This little story, and apparently a true story. A dad went up on his roof, and he was trying to apparently repair some shingles, and so he said, but it's pretty steep. So he thought, well, I'm going to tie this rope around me. He tied this thing around him, and he went up, and then he he was going to put it down on the other side so then he could, you know, work his way down on the other, you know, let the rope, but he's going to tie it to something while his little son was down there. And he said to his boy, he said, tie this to that tree. And so he goes down, and so he assumes his little boy tied it to the tree. And so his little boy looks at that tree. It's kind of a wimpy tree. And he says, I got a better idea. The car's right here. It had one of those old bumpers you could really get a knot around, right? So he took that old rope and he wrapped around that car, little boy. And of course, Dad, he's on the other side. He's going down working on the shingles. And all of a sudden, Mom knows he's got to make a quick trip to the store. It was the wrong thing to tie to, right? Bad day. You ever put your weight and your trust in the wrong thing? And just think for a second. What's something you've trusted in that took you right over the top down? We've all done it, right? We've all trusted in stuff. We look back and think, oh man, I'll never do that again. False objects for security. And of course, it results, and sometimes it results in extreme disaster, tragedy. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. This is a passage. It starts out very negative, and it goes positive, but we need to look at the negative first. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. And notice where it says this. Thus says the Lord. And no, this is very, very strong. Cursed is the man. Do you get the idea? This is not a great deal. This is not a good thing to do. Cursed is the man who trusts, puts his weight, our word, batak, who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. This is a disaster. Cursed is the man. And the idea, he trusts in man, he trusts in the flesh. That which is perishable. Man-made stuff. Stuff that, you know, it's put together by man. It's in myself or the stuff that, you know, I'm trying to put together over here. But it's not dependable. It's putting my focus and my confidence in the wrong object. And it results in disaster. If somebody curses, say, man, you be cursed, that's not a positive thing, right? Cursed is the person who puts their trust in the wrong thing. It's a disaster. And of course, it can include anything that we've listed and other things as well. Now, why is that true? Well, let's just take a peek. Look at verse 6. He explains this. For he will be like a bush in the desert. Be like a bush in the desert. Now, somebody always makes a comment about my nice little bag here. You ever been in a desert? This is kind of my desert flower. we traveled years and years ago when we moved from Dallas, and we went out to California in an old U-Haul truck, and these are the days before they knew what air conditioning was really all about. And so we had the windows rolled down going through the desert in New Mexico. Don't ever do that. Fly or something. Send a postcard, don't go, right, ever? And this is kind of what it looks like out there. I mean, this is probably real positive thinking to be like, you know, this tall, right? Has your life ever been shriveled up like a burned out bush? A little shrub? Now, you know, I was thinking, I'm so thoughtful. Valentine's Day is pretty close, right? Dylan, in case you forget, you can give that to your beloved. Okay. Oh, I got a big heart, don't I? Okay. Now, just think. Now, I can see it, she's already special. See, it means a lot to her. Now, I better be careful. Don't shake that thing. Has your life ever looked like that? Now, we're not raising hands, not sharing testimonies. Has your life ever looked like that? You've been... Happy Valentine's Day. Okay. Now think about this. Think about this. Given this is why you do not want to trust in the wrong thing. For the he or she, okay, will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity, when good things come, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Now just think for a second. Has that ever been true? And you can be a believer. And notice one thing. When we're not really trusting the Lord, let's say we're going to trust in money, which is a big, big thing, you know. I mean, people are always, you know, they're calling you up, you know, and they're either asking you for money or they're telling you how you can make a lot of money. If you send them money, it's kind of weird the way that works. But anyway, you send us money and somehow you'll make money. But anyway, why does that work? Why does that scheme work so well? Because we want money. And the danger is we trust money. Now, we always should be thankful. I mean, I'm thankful when I have money, right? But you don't want to put the whole weight of your life on what your money, you know, like I said, that bird, he just flies away with your money, right? And so, but when we're not trusting the Lord, we've turned away from the Lord. Because notice back in verse 5, and those whose heart turns away from the Lord. When we're trusting, and it could be anything. Let's say it could be a relationship. People are trusting in some relationship. They're putting the whole weight of their life on that relationship. And then it falls apart. God wants us to have healthy relationships, but he wants our trust to be in him. But when we're trusting wrong things, our heart turns away from the Lord. And we're focused. We got the wrong focus. And our confidence is in the wrong thing. And so many, many people are trusting in the wrong thing. And when that wrong thing falls apart, they fall apart. They dry up. They shrivel. Even as Christians, we can know the Lord. We can trust the Lord as our Savior. But we can, if we don't walk tight with the Lord, we don't grow with the Lord, our heart begins to shrivel. And our confidence, and then is in the wrong place. And when everything falls apart, we're just struggling, insecure, because our safety net. The Lord has in our heart and mind. The Lord has not been our safety net. It's been something else. You know, it's so easy to trust in things that fall apart. I don't know if I ever told this story or not, but anyway, when I was a little guy, just real little guy, I'd ride with my dad on a horse. And, I remember one day dad was on his big old black horse. We called him Blackie. It was hard to understand why, but anyway, Blackie. And so big old strong horse. And it's a good cow horse, though, really good at working cattle. And so he was on the front, and I was on the back. And I was a little guy, so you're holding on for dear life. I still remember the hold on for dear life scenario, right? I think this would be my last day on earth. But anyway, when Dad would run, in this particular occasion, we were supposed to just kind of have a gentle look at the cows and all that kind of thing. But this turned into a real cowboy show, because this one steer was not cooperating with us, right? And just took a turn. We were trying to put it in a corral and took a turn, went down into a creek. And in Kansas, you don't usually have water in your creeks. But anyway, went down in the creek. And I remember we got the bottom of that thing. And Dad was just like, well, this horse is going to take us. And he was. He's a very sure-footed horse. So we went down in there. And I remember at the bottom of that thing, that of course the steer's running up the head, and we hit the bottom of the thing, and Dad, we're going full speed, and I'm holding on for dear life, and all of a sudden, we hit the bottom of that thing, and that horse is just kind of, you just feel the muscles just, and all of a sudden, Dad and I were sitting in the bottom of the creek, looking up, still sitting on the saddle though, I might add. Dad was in the saddle, I was behind the saddle, and the horse was gone. Right? The cinch broke. I was trusting that cinch to save my life, right? And here I'm sitting looking up at the blue sky, wondering, am I dead or alive? I didn't know for a while. Trusting, you know, you trust things that break. You trust things that don't hold. And what happens? Cursed is a man who trust in the wrong thing. Because the wrong thing falls apart and security is gone. Now let's talk about true security. The source of true security. Notice verse 7. This is beautiful, wonderful. Blessed is the man. Notice the contrast. Cursed is the man, verse 5. Now we get to 7. Blessed, the contrast. Blessed is the man. Man, he's really blessed. There's a great deal. Blessed is the man or woman, we can say, who trusts in the Lord. Batak in the Lord. Whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. That word, he trusts in the Lord. He puts the weight of his life on the Lord. And just think for a second. Let me ask this question. Do you know the Lord well enough to trust the Lord with where you're at right now? You know, one of the reasons we don't trust him very much is we don't know him very much. Blessed is the person who puts the weight of their life on the Lord. And they know why, because they know him. They put the weight of their life on the Lord. Blessed is that person. What are you trusting in? What are you holding on to? There was a little boy, and he climbed up in a tree. And it was one of the trees. It must have been dying or something. And he got up there, and things started falling apart on him. And you know how you get a old rotten branch is still there, but it's not there. And so he starts to fall, and then he grabs the next branch, and his dad, he just happens to be under down below, and he sees what's happened. He says, son, I'll catch you. And the little boy, he says, let go. And the little boy says, as he's holding on to this dead branch, he says, do I have to let go of everything? And that's the way we are with the Lord a lot of times. Do I have to let go of everything? Really, I want to hold on to this God because it's rotten. I mean, it looked good initially, right? But it's rotten. And so we're saying, can I trust the Lord? But we have to know him well enough to trust him. Blessed is the man. You know, we thought of the tragedy of the 9/11, and in our lifetimes it will be a memory forever. But one of the families that really knew about the 9/11 more than most of us was one family of one of the co-pilots of the American Airlines plane that flew into one of the towers. And they were a Christian family. And I'm sure it sounded like they loved their dad, and he loved them, and you know, had a great job. Everything looked good until that day. And his wife said in reflection, and this didn't come easy and it didn't come quick, but she said, God is our rock. We know that now more deeply than ever before. You see, thank the Lord for a spouse that we love. Thank the Lord for family that cares about us. Thank the Lord for friends, but ultimately only the Lord is the one who is there. He is the rock that we can trust in. Blessed is the person who puts their faith in the Lord. And notice he'll be like a tree. I like this illustration. You know me, I didn't hardly see a tree until I came to Canada, right? In Kansas, we just, you know, anyway, but I remember one tree that really stood out to me in Kansas. Now, we had, I think, at least three trees. But anyway, and in Kansas, I remember one time, the elders, as part of the ministry I was with, we had our elders retreat, and we went somehow, somebody knew this, that somebody owned this house out in the middle of nowhere. And so we rented it for a day, and we had a retreat. But none of us had ever been there. And it was out like in a pasture. I mean, you'd only have a retreat if you're in Kansas in a pasture, right? I mean, I don't know. You know, you got to pray for those poor Kansas people. But anyway, so we were driving, trying to find this place. And so we're out in the pasture, driving around. And all of a sudden, we come over the hill and look down, and in this little valley, there's this house. We see the house where we're supposed to have our retreat, and there's a creek running through, a stream running through, and right beside the stream, there's this beautiful, beautiful, perfectly shaped tree. It's a huge, big tree. It just caught my attention. Why was a tree so big and beautiful? Because it was planted by the stream. In the midst of this dry land, there was this beautiful tree. And God, we live in a dry land. And all of us could testify to the things that have made our life hard and dry and crusted at times and painful at times. But we can be like a tree planted by the water. We can survive in the midst of the heat. Do you notice that? Do you notice the heat? It talks about the heat. It says, we'll be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and it will not fear when the heat comes. And I think we all know the heat will come. Right? The heat will come. The heat affects all of us. It comes in different shapes, I know. Some heat is in the hospital. Some heat is in the family situation. Some heat is in the financial situation. Some heat is the unknown of what am I going to do next year. And it's hot and barren. But for the one who knows the Lord and puts their weight upon the Lord, they're blessed. Doesn't mean the heat won't come. Doesn't mean the storms won't be there. But they can be like a tree planted. And the roots have gone deep down to the source of the Lord. And we can survive it and have security in the midst of it. One writes, security is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God, no matter what the danger. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know Him? Is the Lord Jesus your personal Savior? I mean, that has to be resolved before anything else. I was reading a tract and it talked about preparing for terror attacks. It's a Christian tract. You know, the only way to ultimately be prepared for terror attacks is put your faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. But if you have trusted Him, if you realize your need for Him, if you realize that, you know what? All the things the world offers, apart from God, could be gone tomorrow. But if you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, He's not going anywhere. He's with you. He's your Savior. And He's got your future covered. But for those of us who know the Lord, we still have the temptation in a world who offers us so many things. It's like going to the cafeteria finding something to put your faith in. And it's tempting for us to pick the wrong things. And God says, that's a disaster. Put your trust in the Lord. Get to know Me through the Word so you can trust Me in the heat. It was a little lady, and she was in, her and her family were in this earthquake. Apparently it's kind of several different groups together. Anyway, they felt the earthquake, and apparently more and more, even in Dallas, they're feeling earthquakes. So it's kind of interesting how the whole world is shaking and rocking, right? Getting ready for the Lord, I think. But anyway, all this shaking, and she's sitting there, and the thing. And if you've ever been in an earthquake, I remember the first time I was ever in one, something fell off my shelf, and I thought, what? What just happened, right? Right. And anyway, there was a lot of shaking. Everybody was saying, whoa. And apparently there was some aftershock, and they were still saying, whoa. Things are moving around here. Of course, where do you go in an earthquake? And she's just sitting over there, and finally, one of the young people looked at the kind of the grandmother of the crew and says, "Aren't you scared?" And she was smiling. She says, "No." She says, "I'm just thankful I have a God who can shake the world." Do you have a God who can shake the world and keep you secure? May we have our trust in Him. May we get to know Him so well that when the heat comes, we can be like a tree planted by streams of water. May we trust Him. The only safe place is the God who is our rock. True security comes as we trust in the one who can give us ultimate security. Let's just thank him. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you have dealt with the ultimate problem of sin. And you are the sovereign. You are the sovereign of the universe. And not only do you deal with sin, but you deal with strife and problems and stress and fear. We can count on you. If you died to save us, you surely can live to keep us. So we put the weight of our lives on you, not only for our salvation, but for the rest of the journey as well. We thank you. We thank you. In your precious name, amen.